Welcome to another cycle of Dirty Laundry Clean Confessions, a family podcast created for the next generation. Grandma Smarge can't wait to see what you'll become, Monk and Little Al. Live, pre-recorded from our family laundry room with Smarge, Haas, and sometimes Otter, and always not the real guest. Here we hang it on the line with everyday ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things. In the room where famous people are loved, adored, and admired, however, not invited, except for the great Willie Nelson, of course. Thanks for joining us in the laundry room while we fold through life's journeys. Here, we're keeping it real, washing through stains, and making colors a little bit brighter.
Well, good evening, Smarge. How are you?
I'm good, Haas. How are you?
I'm good. How's your laundry going? Oh.
The laundry room isn't finished yet, or the recording studio isn't finished yet. The laundry part of the room's finished.
I can't wait for the podcast where we can say it. The
laundry it's room finished. Is done. Smarge is having a hard time right now. But no, it's coming along. It's coming along.
It's probably been, we were just talking about this, maybe like,
we started
a year?
No, because it feels like a year. We started when we ended our season one, so that had to have been like
October,
June.
No, wait, yeah.
What other podcast are you on?
I don't even know what month it is right now, but the weather is getting cold.
See, I was listening to a podcast where you said you liked autumn. I don't think you like autumn, Haas. I think you like summer, and that is it.
I thought I did. I think
you don't.
Summer is my jam. And
I think it is.
Well, the great part about Colorado is you get 360 days of sunshine.
Right.
So, like, even in January,
you still can get your vitamin D.
You're still getting sunshine.
I just think we need to find a way to utilize outside more when it's so cold. They do in, like, Newfoundland and places like that.
Yeah.
They're always outside.
Why can't we do that?
Well, we're going to. We're going to try.
Should we put the podcast outside?
Oh, we could do it from
the fireplace.
Yeah, the fireplace. Some we will. We
that
will do that.
That'd actually be really fun.
It could be fireside chats, but they already took that. That's a really, but it could be, what is it? Laundry drum. You know, have you ever seen
fire how? Folding
fire
and
folding.
Fathom? No.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
Nope.
We'll work on that.
Wash and
anyway,
I don't know. We'll work on that.
But that's what I love about Colorado, is because you can literally enjoy the beautiful weather most times of year. And then you get like one day where it's just a little bit colder and a little bit cloudier. And then I just get very grumpy.
Right. See, and I get happy. It almost feels real crisp in the air.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about how lucky I am to have lived my whole life in Colorado.
Right?
And
we're like unicorns to
yeah,
be able to
yeah,
say that.
I know. And I've been so fortunate. But then I realized, guess what? I don't really know the history of Colorado.
You know.
Like I should. I know a little
really
bit about
either.
World history. Well, I think I do. And
being
then
a history major, I would hope.
Minor.
Minor. Oh, pardon.
But it wasn't Colorado history minor. So I really don't know a lot.
I don't really either, actually.
So I guess kind of my confession is I've been living in a state I really need to learn a little bit more about.
Well, you know what?
What, Haas?
You're in luck.
No way. No way. Really?
Yeah, because our guest today is actually a sixth generation Colorado native. Welcome, L, to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here with you.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you.
So sixth generation.
And I don't know that I know all the history, but I know some.
We're going to quiz you right now.
Okay.
Okay, no. But sixth generation, was it in Denver? Was it what part of?
So our family ranch is in southern Colorado.
And is it still a current ranch?
It's a running ranch.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know you had a ranch.
Yeah. And it is a heritage Colorado ranch. Mm-hmm. So it's been in operation by one family for over 150 years.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Wow.
Yeah. And my great 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 grandfather, I think.
Okay.
Sounds right.
He founded the ranch. His name was Sotelo.
Okay.
And now there are cousins, distant cousins that have ranches around it. So there's a whole compound of the family ranch.
Now,
that's
how
incredible.
Do they know, like? Do you know them? It sounds like huge family.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you've all kind of.
Five sons, my great great grandfather that founded the ranch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're all over the world, really. And he wanted it to go to the oldest son, and then the oldest son, so that it would stay in the
in the family,
in the family, yeah. And its size, because it wasn't a very big ranch. It's about 500 or 600 acres. I think they've added some acreage to it, but it is a running ranch.
And nice.
Has a river that runs through it. It sits under the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, and we were supposed to have a family reunion. We'll have one like every 10 years or so.
Okay.
And COVID happened.
Oh no, of course.
So
yeah, we're still not quite over all feeling the repercussions of that, I guess.
Right.
It really did set us off.
So on the ranch is a barn, and it has all the family history, and it's the old barn, the original barn. It has all the pictures and what happened.
Oh, that's a great idea. Who started that, do you know? Do you remember?
One of the sons.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Just said the barn is not useful to us anymore. Let's just make it a museum of the history of our family.
They didn't want to make a podcast?
No.
They didn't want to knit a baby mobile?
Seems like same thing.
Let's do a museum. Well, that's next.
Oh, no. I don't know if I have a museum.
When's the last time you've been there?
I took my son there, my youngest son there, probably about 15 years ago.
Okay.
Wow.
Was he pretty impressed?
No, he was a kid.
He was like, what the hell?
Who's here that I can play with?
Would he be impressed now?
Maybe.
Yeah. She'll have to check
in. I think he would appreciate it now.
Probably. Yeah, well, we're kind of distant from it because, like you said, my great-grandfather moved up to northern Colorado.
Okay.
And worked at the Great Western Sugar Factory.
Oh, wow.
And then he decided he didn't like corporate America 175 years ago.
Oh, dear.
And so he went and managed a ranch. So he was a
good
ranch
for manager. Good for him.
So, yeah. So that's how we got to northern Colorado. And then my parents moved to Denver when I was a baby. I was their oldest.
Okay.
And you grew up in Denver then?
I grew up in Denver, yes.
Yeah. And you're oldest of four?
I'm the oldest of four.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you grew up in Denver. Okay. What's your first memory of downtown Denver?
Well, we lived across from City Park.
My parents had a little tiny house
when my dad was going to school and I was a baby.
Were those the bungalow type houses?
Yeah. So they lived in a little tiny bungalow house.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my dad graduated and other children started coming along, then they bought a bigger house, but it was still in Park Hill. So I grew up all around City Park.
Oh, that's
neat. I
love
that area.
Yeah, it's a cool area.
My grandmother and mother grew up on Pearl Street, right off of Alameda.
Oh, yeah.
And they both grew up there.
Because you're third generation?
I'm only third because my great-grandma, she came from Italy. And my great-grandfather, Manich, they came from Italy. So,
yeah, okay.
And they had a house. They were in Pennsylvania first, and then they came to Denver because they heard it was better for his asthma. So they came
the dry
here.
Weather.
The drier weather would be better for him.
Yeah,
so they came
altitude.
Here and they built a home that's still there on Pearl Street.
That's
oh my
nice.
They were first
really?
Owners. And yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, and I grew up in that house as well because my great-grandma did not die. I think she may have been easily over 92. So maybe 93, 94. And she lived alone up until the very end.
Oh, wow.
So
good for her.
In that house. So I got to spend a lot of time in that house too. So
that's
just neat
cool.
memories. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you have a ton of them. That's why I wanted to know about what you remembered about Denver.
Well, my mom worked at Rose Memorial Hospital, which is down in the Park Hill area. When I was a child. Later, she worked at CU Medical, which was on Colorado Boulevard. And she was a research scientist.
Oh, wow.
But she, she had some really cool stuff that happened. But she worked at Rose Memorial. And then she did a lot of specialing. And one of the people that she specialed was the owner of the Denver Post, Helen Bonfies.
Wow. You're kidding.
So she used to come home and tell us all kinds of stories about Miss Helen.
Oh, that's so cool.
And what Miss Helen was doing.
Did you get to tour the Denver Post and stuff?
Oh, yeah. As a kid.
Oh,
yeah.
How fun.
Yeah.
So do you have any story, like a favorite story?
Well,
that's okay to share.
Yeah.
All these years later.
And they're all gone now, but Helen would get calls from the White House. There was also a guard there, and he would answer the phone, and he'd say, oh, Miss Helen, the White House is on the phone, and they want you to run something in the morning at the post. And she would tell my mom, would you go talk to him, honey? She goes, I was just going to pull out my jewelry so we could look at it together. So Adelaide Stevenson or one of those guys would be on the phone and she would say, I'll call them back later or first thing in the morning. And my mom would say, are you sure? Are you sure we can look at the jewelry all night long?
Oh, my gosh.
And she goes, oh, no, I want to show you some special pieces from my boyfriend.
Oh, no.
So,
well, there's someone that, you know, didn't let their job and their contacts go to their head, right? I mean, she still seemed...
Oh, yeah. She was very down to earth.
Down to earth. And no matter...
But they were the family.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I thought.
Yeah, because everyone in the West read the Denver Post.
Right.
Yeah. And her father controlled that for years and years and years, what went in the Denver Post and what didn't go in the Denver Post. And when he and her sister was an interested May. So Helen kind of took it over by default. And the other time was when she ran away with her chauffeur. My mother said everybody in Denver society was very upset.
The owner of the Post ran away with
her chauffeur.
Well, you know what? Like what? I said, she seemed very down to earth and she was just going to follow her dream.
Yeah,
you know?
She could do whatever she
did
wanted.
Did she leave the Denver Post or did she come
no,
back?
No, she went when she died, the stockholders and other people took over.
But, okay, so she
but
was in
her
until the
her
end.
Her father and her were the Denver Post for 100 years, maybe.
That is neat. And that was your grandmother?
My mother.
Your mother. I'm sorry, your mother.
My mother was the nurse, and she would special.
And the friend of.
They called my mother because she was a woman of integrity, and they said, Helen Bonfries needs a nurse to stay with her at night.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how my mom earned extra money for our Christmas presents and things like that.
Yeah, that's neat.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's kind of the best history that we had.
Yeah.
Is mom coming home and telling us stories from the
Helen Bonfries. That's history. That's the news. That's what's going on, man.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And because you raised most of your kids have lived in Colorado most of their lives also, right?
Yeah, we traveled. I lived overseas and was an IT project manager. So we lived in Hong Kong for a while. We lived in Saudi Arabia. But we always kept our home here in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they were little, I tried moving away, but I couldn't. I came back.
Yeah.
Were your parents here as well?
My parents and grandparents never lived anywhere else but Colorado.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Wow, really?
And my great grandparents and
Okay. So
we're through and through Coloradoans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's hard to leave. I mean, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
You go to like some beautiful places to visit, but I always seem to come back.
And people love it when you tell them. That you're from Colorado.
There is, and they also ask,
and they
really
want to know
like
everything about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to go visit. Or
but sometimes,
so many times, I love it.
I do still run into the occasional few that really think that everyone has horses here.
Oh
we all wear cowboy hats,
and we all smoke weed.
And we all
I don't smoke weed.
Yeah.
Well, I smoke for you, Haas.
You do. I smoke enough for the rest of us.
I'll smoke for you guys. Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Because I like it. I think weed saved my life, but that's another podcast.
Yeah.
And it's still saving my life and everyone around me
that
I love.
It's a beautiful drug. I completely approve of it.
But even before the weed, it was always like, do you have a horse?
Mm-hmm.
Do you wear a cowboy hat? Why aren't you wearing your cowboy boots?
Where's your cowboy boots?
Yeah.
And
they didn't think we were very sophisticated.
No,
and that
they
we
didn't.
Were. And I had some people that moved here, and they said that they were going down to the theater. You know, used to be just Helen Bonfies Theater down there, but
right.
now we have lots of theaters
right.
there. And they said, oh, we can wear, like, shorts and whatever because it's just Colorado. And I said, a Coloradoan wouldn't go to the
theater in
the
shorts.
No way.
And my secretary said...
They'd go in their hat and boots.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they think. And my secretary says, don't they know that we can wear velvets just like everybody else?
No, they don't. Well, I think they do now, but I think it was something that...
Yeah.
That's the first thing that people would think about.
Yeah.
You know.
We are a very casual state for the most part. I mean, we do wear less... I don't know. Maybe it's just like the girls I used to know who would come to Colorado and they'd want to go out and they'd look all beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'd say every girl at the bar is going to wear a flannel and jeans.
Well, it was funny.
You're going to stand out like a sore thumb, but that's what
I've been
wanted.
Taking Pilates at this place just down the road for, gosh, like 20 years now.
Yeah.
And there used to be this guy that would come in and he was from the East Coast. And I'm not sure. I want to say North Carolina, but I'm not positive. And he decided he was moving back. They were moving back to the East Coast. And the lady that owned it said, what are you going to miss about Colorado? And he goes, oh, I'm going to miss a lot about Colorado. He said, but do you want to know what I'm not going to miss? And she's like, sure, what? And she goes, he goes, every woman just looks like she's ready to hike a four, what do they call them, a 4K?
14er.
14er. Yeah. Like, you know, they're always in, you know.
Yoga pants.
And forget the high heels and the fancy heels. But granted, this man was 94. Okay, so yeah. He had a vision in his mind of what women should look like.
Right.
He goes, I'm just not going to miss that. I'm going to be happy to see women dress up more.
Yeah.
And then
and
I thought.
It hasn't always been that way.
No.
Like my grandmother wore dresses.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty jewelry. And they were always, and my mother and father would, it took them forever to get on a plane and look casual. They were always dressed up.
Oh, yep. Well, that was the thing, right?
Yeah. That was
when
a big deal.
When you first started flying, everyone dressed up to fly, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You wouldn't go to the airport in your pajama bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, not like wouldn't. You do today.
Their pajama bottom.
I mean, yeah. That's what I've seen today.
Oh,
I mean,
everyone, yeah.
I get wanting to be comfy.
All those
but
young yippersnappers are doing that, you know?
Dress up a little bit out
yeah,
there.
Come on.
Maybe they're not up on their laundry.
Oh,
maybe they need some laundry
that's
tips.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they get behind and
listen up, kiddo.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
laundry.
Are in the laundry.
Oh, dear. Anyway, back to what's yeah. all the questions from our sixth generation?
Well, do you have any, like, family traditions that you've been passed on and that maybe you want to pass on to your kids and to their kids? I mean, is there something that, as a Coloradan, that you've done every year during the holidays or something? I don't know. Some traditions that, you,
well,
that you've kept
we alive. Did have some that have kind of gone away, but that's because the places have gone away. So it used to be in Denver that there was a big, huge ice skating rink called Zeckendorf.
Uh-huh.
And so during the holidays, you either went to Zeckendorf and then you went to the Denver Dry Goods and you had high tea.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my
right,
gosh.
Yeah.
How fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so when my daughter got married here in Colorado, she got married in Golden. I tried to kind of keep that tradition going. So I took all of her bridesmaids who were in the Army, and she was too. And I thought, oh, they're going to love this. They're all girly girls, but they're in the Army.
Right.
Have them get dressed up, and we're going to go to the Brown Palace.
Don't say the Brown Palace. That's where I took all four of my daughters when they turned 16.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
I love
to
that.
The high tea.
And we would spend a night and yeah. Oh my gosh. So did,
yeah, so
did
the
you
Brown
say,
Palace.
I
want
to hear your story. So you did this with them. What did they think? The
oh my
first
gosh,
time.
They had
were
so,
they?
We had so much fun because they were from all over the world,
right.
Her Army buddies. And we were going, and everybody thinks of Denver as a cow town, and it's not
yeah,
a cow
it's
town.
It's not at
yeah.
all. No.
There's lots of things that, you know, Daniels and Fisher's Tower. My mom knew him. She specialed him, and he gave me a doll that looked like me.
Oh, wow.
And so there was lots of, it's a more like understated sophistication, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Where we don't go around and say, oh, this is like, you know, I don't want to sound jaded, but this is like the way you do it in the East Coast, mm-hmm. you know.
No,
right, right.
And Colorado would look at that and say, well, we do it a little bit different, but we don't brag about it.
Yeah.
But we just, but we don't make anyone feel uncomfortable.
And you don't
make
them feel you know? About it.
That's
yeah.
what I usually say, but we really try not to make our guests feel uncomfortable, like you're right. making me feel uncomfortable right now. But
yeah.
That's a great way to look at it, but
yeah.
how
and
so,
kind of understand.
So you were
elegance.
Able to do that with them quite a few times, or?
Well, Kateri by that time has grown up and she was in the Army, so I just got to do it with her and her friends once. But I've done it many times.
Okay,
like
okay.
with friends
oh,
or
good.
Family.
Okay.
You go down
hello,
to the
friend.
Yeah,
I can't wait to meet at the Brown Palace.
I know that'll be our next luncheon.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, so there's, and then there used to be a really cool little theater on Hooker Street. I don't know if you know where Hooker Street is. In the old Italian district.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I have to tell you, my uncle Tony had, I think he died at 92 as well. He had, it was off of Colfax, so just north on Hooker Street. Very bottom of the corner was kind of a steep hill and steep going up. He had that home. They had it built, and he had that home until my youngest daughter, she was 2 when he died. So mm-hmm. and she was born. So 2000 he died. And he had that house until 2000.
Wow.
And it was on Hooker Street, right off of Colfax.
Yeah.
So
the Hooker Street Theater was in a house, and it was in the basement.
What?
And that was the first time I saw the Rocky Horror Show. And I said,
oh, my gosh.
I said,
fun.
This is like the coolest thing. And that theater had been there forever. And I was like, and I'm just now hearing about it.
Oh and where God, was it fun. In relation to Colfax? Was it, so would it have been more on would the south side?
Would it been more...
South, north, south?
I think it would be south, but just south. A few blocks. It's in that area. It's in the old Italian district.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Is
that
it still
is
there?
Hilarious.
I don't know. I've always wondered about that.
Is that. You should still look into there? That. I would love to go to a show.
Yeah. That would be hilarious.
And you had to kind of know about it. It wasn't like the a speakeasy.
That's what's kind of cool. It's like someone's basement. You
The Rocky Horror
Picture. And it was really beautiful.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
The theater that was big for this area when I was in high school was on Sheridan.
Which one was
Sheridan
that?
And I can't even remember the name of it, but it was Sheridan just...
Do you remember what it was called?
No. It's in a strip mall. You wouldn't even know it was a theater almost. I think they only had two theaters in it.
Yeah, but they were all over. Yeah. And they were like so much fun.
They were. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun back then. There's the old theater house for sale on Colfax.
Oh, yeah.
On the corner. And I'm like, we got to go back. That would be a great venue just to do whatever. I don't know.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun?
To restore it and everything. That would just. But we never went back and looked at it. But it's probably still for sale. It didn't look like it was in good shape.
And because of COVID, a lot of great restaurants closed in Denver that had been there for like 100 years.
Yeah, just so sad.
Yeah.
Well, Casa Bonita's coming back.
I know.
Oh, I can't wait. Hilarious. Have you been yet?
No, but my sons gave me a plaque. They took a picture of a plaque there. My brother was the first diver at Casa Bonita.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Way.
In 1973, he was the very first diver. He's called me twice and he goes...
She might be famous.
Where is exactly is my plaque at Casa Bonita? I said, I don't know. My sons took a picture of it. And I just sent it to him like about 2 weeks ago. And he keeps calling me and asking me exactly where
it's
at.
Oh, my goodness.
That is so cool.
I know. Isn't
hilarious.
That funny?
Oh, yes. That is. God. Gosh, you so your family is famous. So integrated into Denver.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so integrated. That is so cool.
We're so lucky to have like just different things pop up, you know, like who has their mother work for Helen Bonfey?
And you also have an extraordinary part of your life where you've been around the world and lived around the world.
Yeah.
Did you always feel like a part of your heart's in Colorado, though?
Always. Oh. Sometimes I'd be teaching a class. I was a project manager, so I was teaching a class in Kuwait on project management. And I'm sitting there waiting for everybody because I didn't know in the Middle East that when you say the meeting is going to start at 10 o'clock, that means like maybe 10, 15, 10, 30, 10, quarter, 11.
Oh, so I need to go to Kuwait to fit in. Yeah. Okay.
So, and then they might bring the tea cart around.
Okay,
while
that's
you're
definitely, but no
so
alcohol
I'm sitting
there.
Kuwait is okay.
Weed?
You can get anything in Kuwait. So, but I would be sitting at the table and I would say, how did a little girl from Colorado end up here?
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
Teaching,
see, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's what I'm saying.
Teaching project management to the ministers of finance in Kuwait.
Oh, wow.
With being a mother. With being a mother.
So cool. Yeah, my youngest son was about 12 or 14.
Okay, yeah.
And that's right. When you were in Kuwait?
Well, he was in Saudi, and I had to travel back and forth. So amongst all of this, I was living in Kuwait, and my family was living in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, my God.
So I flew into Saudi Arabia like 20 times.
What was Saudi Arabia like?
Oh, crazy. Like biblical.
Literally.
Literally. You
can
see.
And what year was this?
My youngest is now in his 30s, so he was 14 then, so whatever that is, like, you know, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
So
it was right after Iraq fell, because we were there for the bombing of Saudi, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay.
When they were bombed. Wow. And my older son came into my bedroom, and he said, that is not a thunderstorm. He said, something serious is happening.
Something's going on.
And so I went out to the front door, and you could just see smoke all over Riyadh.
Oh, God. No way. Did you have to evacuate? Did you stay? What did you do?
Well, we stayed for a little bit. We're crazy. But there was a big meeting among all of the Americans deciding if we should leave, if we should go.
So you had like an expat community?
Oh,
good. Okay.
Yeah. We lived on the Arizona compound, which was all Americans.
Oh, okay. Oh,
cool. And the embassy was on the other side of Riyadh, which was very scary.
And well, I don't think I'd want to be right next to the embassy if people are going to
be
bombing.
Well, you want to be close
by. I don't know, though.
I would go there, and I would tell the Marines, you can come over to dinner anytime you want to, but just remember where I live. If anything happens,
right,
that's my boys get out first.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I just always, with the embassies, like when I book hotels overseas, I'm always a little hesitant to be right next door to one just in case there's an angry other country, yeah. Right?
Yeah, you want, I always want to know where it is and be relatively
that's
close
the way
to
I
it,
am.
Though,
I
in
know
case
where it
there's
is.
An urgency.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get it. You don't want to be right next door, I guess.
And there was this one specific time we were in London. And we're pulling up to, and I look over, and I cannot remember what country, what embassy it was, but it was right there. And I was like, Poppy, we've talked about this. And he's like, it's fine. I can't even remember what country it was at this point. We're in the lobby, and it was one of those real fancy new ways of checking in, like they're all on their little iPads. But there's not a real specific desk. There's just kind of desks here and there, a real new wave looking thing. There's an art show going on downstairs with a bar. And we're just trying to check in. And all of this, and we're just kind of, all of a sudden, I just look up and I see this mob. It felt like three or four really big people pushing someone else, and they separated Mick and I. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going down. Something bad is happening. And they separate us, and they're, sorry, Mom, but they're real, like, sorry, Mom, sorry, and they're separating us, and everything will be fine. As I look up, and I'm short, so I can't see, as I look up, now I'm going to forget his name. It was one of the Rolling Stones. He had just recently died. The drummer.
Oh, I know that you're talking about.
I feel so bad. I've just spaced his name.
I know, I did too.
Woods.
Oh, yeah, Ronnie Woods.
What? No, he's still, well.
Yeah, he's still alive. Ronnie Woods is a bass.
Anyway, he had the real gray platinum hair. He was always on the drums. Anyway, yeah. I guess Martin Scorsese had just come in and was there when they were working on a project together. But the first thing I thought is, I'm so upset with you, Poppy. We had an agreement, and now, like, we're separated, and we're all dying.
Look what you did. The world is ending.
And it was the Rolling
It
Coast.
Is scary when that happens in a foreign country. That happened to me once in Italy.
Because I already kind of had that fear, yeah. Right? And then these big guys, and it was obviously very serious, but Jesus, they didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're all okay. And
yeah.
But then you want to be close to an embassy when you're traveling as well, right?
Right.
So it's kind of
you want to know where it is.
You
like
want to know
yeah,
where it
you
is.
Want you always look up where it is,
and
yep.
You want to know how they can help you. One time, my passport was running out of pages, and I was in Riyadh, and I had to go to the embassy, and I said my passport doesn't have any more pages, and they said, "Oh, we can send some more in for you." So they took my passport and they used like a special thread and special paper.
Is that legal? And that's okay. Yeah, well, you were yeah, you're
no, embassy. It's an embassy does it.
Oh, you can add more paper. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't get that paper. Like, it has like, you know, like the American, like, Liberty, the Statue of Liberty and odd things like that.
Yeah.
So, no, they can do it because they're the embassy. You can't have it done anyplace else, but only at an embassy.
Did you have to, could you wait for it? I'd be afraid to leave it.
No, okay. I didn't leave it.
Okay, you just waited for it.
Yeah.
So, after this bombing, how long did you stay?
Probably another 4 or 5 months.
Oh, wow.
Because I was still working in Kuwait.
But if you wanted to leave, did you have that option?
Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
It wasn't like you're at the company. It was like, no, you have this contract. And
yeah.
Okay.
So no, then, something happened and I said, okay, it's not safe for us anymore. And I said,
you made the mom decision.
I get my kids out of there. That's
Mama L. She made the decision and that's got to go.
So then where did you guys go after that?
Home.
Oh, you went back to Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the project teams from around the world came and we did some work from my house.
Now, you also lived in Hong Kong?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
It was, it was the first time I lived. I had been to Hong Kong before, but it was the first time I had lived in another country.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was like...
It's a transition.
Did you have children then?
Yeah, the children came.
Okay.
Yeah. My youngest went to a British school in Hong Kong.
Oh, that's where he gets that dapper accent when he wants, huh? Because sometimes he can really put
that's
it on.
That's where it's from.
That's where it's from.
Yeah. he didn't like it. He said they gave him brown rice and chicken for lunch every day.
Wow.
But I think it was a great experience for him. I think that he became a very international person.
Have you guys talked about it lately?
No, the boys don't like to talk about it. They never tell anybody. For all the places that they lived.
I was just wondering now if they would say thank you,
Mom. Well, maybe because you're his friend. No, they never say that.
they will eventually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you need to renovate your laundry room? Do you need a carpenter? go ahead and call Arlo Carpentry. Arlo Carpentry will serve all your woodwork needs, from woodwork to wood stock. Arlo Carpentry, serving the greater Denver metro area for the past 13.5 months. Arlo Carpentry, we're gonna nail it for ya.
Have you heard it from your daughter? Any like thank yous? Thank you, Mom, for doing this. I'm just now starting to hear a few like.
It takes a while.
I mean, just little. I mean, I'm talking like, thank you, Mom, for letting us be vegetarians for a week that one time. Or you know what I mean? Or thank you for, yeah. They're little things, but at least they're kind of thank yous.
It makes a huge difference, yeah.
Yeah. I think they do appreciate it. And again, it's that kind of that understated elegance. I've seen them, people ask them about some of the things and they said, oh, yeah, I went to South High School or I went to Bear Creek or something like that.
That's
and I was like, but don't you want to tell them that you went to like this school and that
in
school
Hong Kong
and Saudi Arabia? Yeah. And they, but they don't. And
I have to honestly say, so
they
the very first
brag.
Time I ever sat down and met your son, your youngest, and spoke with him, he did share all that. I mean, he shared a phenomenal
shared
amount
with
me that I was like, wow.
He must have been comfortable with it.
Because I knew that this kid and his sidekick youngest son of Ella could be trouble. And then you should have saw the look on my face when I realized they had broken in to the home and were dating two of my daughters. But granted, this is all years later. I mean, everybody had been out of high school for I don't know how long. For like five years or something.
They did a lot of growing up.
But I was like, and I put it together one night like, oh my God, you're not the, and you're not the friend of the, and we are. And I'm like, you infiltrated.
How did this happen?
I have to be careful for what you say. I know.
But it's like, oh my gosh. But they've grown up quite a lot, and I'm very impressed with them.
And they're very wonderful gentlemen now, and they're very respectful.
So, and I can tell you, your youngest anyway, and you know what? Your oldest has also shared with me some stories earlier on, so I don't know why moms are the last to know, but good job, Mama L. Good job.
You did do a great job, I think. All
and what is that like? So, and your
very,
daughter?
Very successful and very great people.
You have three kids. And talk a little bit about, well, you have talked about what your daughter does.
Yeah, she was Army.
Right.
And she was military intelligence. And she was a linguist. And her language was Arabic.
That's which, so impressive.
So she wanted to protect the world.
Unbelievable.
Not from any particular group of people, but just to be able to know
what's
and know what's going on and be able to tell the people in the hierarchy of the Army how best to handle things.
Right.
So she was on a UN peacekeeping mission.
Please share with us, if you don't mind, how long it took her to learn Arabic, which is I've heard
very impressive,
very complicated language. It's
it's called the class five. So you would have to, you could compare it to maybe Russian or Mandarin Chinese.
Okay.
Or even English. Isn't English technically
one
of the hardest languages?
Yeah, but we know it, so it's
I know,
not her first.
Saying
yeah,
it is also one of the hardest languages.
Okay. We have so many little nuances to the English language, whereas some of the other languages are
We hadn't heard that all night. I was starting to worry. You enjoy that, Haas.
It's about 10.
And so it took her 18 months, but they were in a very special school. It's run by the Department of Defense. And so spies, Army, Air Force, Navy.
So how long did it take her?
18 months.
Unbelievable.
That is so
and she called me once crying, and she said, to pass, I have to speak, write.
She had to hear it. She had to be able to translate it, speak it, write it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And she says, and I have to know all the economics of that particular culture. And she said, my degree was in economics. And she said, do you think I could do that? I said, I think you can do it. And don't put like a lot of negative into it.
Right.
She can,
And I said, but I said, good luck.
Good luck, favorite daughter. But I can, I know you have my support.
Yes. Yeah, all like native speakers. They don't learn secondhand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All of the people in this school.
That's their.
That they learn from native speakers.
Okay.
And they have to have, you know, been generational native speakers so that they have the, like, the the dialects. And right. She also knew three dialects of.
Oh my God.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Your daughter is so impressive. Yeah. But it also, it makes sense because I think you're also very impressive. And it sounds like your grandmother or your mother was very impressive. And because I did hear you too,
know,
that
all
you
of a sudden, I don't think of that. I always think of myself as a mother.
Right.
A
and mothers are
and
impressive.
And I had to do what
but,
I had
but
to
you're
do.
So
here
much
you are,
more than
a mom,
that.
And you're having a career, you're supporting your kids, and you're taking them with you. And I've met all three of them, and they're wonderful.
They're amazing.
They're wonderful.
People. I love every single
one. It was a privilege to raise them.
Aww.
It
but
really
you did
was
a great
privilege.
Job. You really did. They're yeah. so great. Like, what is your secret? How did you...
Well, first, let's talk... So we've talked about favorite daughter, and then we've talked... But we haven't talked much... Like, what does your older son do?
Hey, that's a good question. I was an IT project manager. That's how I traveled. And he told me he never wanted to have anything to do with computers. And that's what his business is.
Well, there
is.
You go. There
that's
you
what
go.
His business is. He.
Thank you, Mom, is what IT. I think you need to hear. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's cute, though. But has a great family and is just a great guy.
Great human.
Yeah,
he's
great
really
human.
A genuine,
yeah.
genuine human.
I know. And he's yep. my psychologist. My son is a psychologist.
He's your Haas.
But my
he's your Haas.
Oh my
a mind of reason for you?
Yes. When nice. I go crazy, I and he goes, "Oh, mother, let's back up again. You gave me a Aww. Lot of information."
He slows you down.
He slows you down.
Yeah, that's
Calms
nice.
You down. He's yeah. a peace of mind. Oh,
I try not to bug him too
that.
Much.
Yeah. And then
yeah,
that,
he has a lot on his plate with his two little girls, but
yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. And then that the youngest one of yours, kind of the favorite of mine, I guess.
He might so, be my favorite, too.
What's he doing?
I've known him the longest.
He works for an international company, and he's a psychologist.
See?
He got his master's in psychology, organizational psychology.
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
And
so impressive.
I mean, they're all... And it was so nice to meet your daughter. I got to finally meet her and her husband and your two granddaughters at the wedding yeah. that we had in August.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just feel fortunate that I've got to meet all of them now.
Yeah.
And they're a lot of fun.
And they were all
and
raised in
all
Colorado.
So different. They
I mean, Colorado was their home.
They all have yeah. very different personalities.
Yeah. Yeah, that yes. is true.
Yeah. They're very different.
So what's
the
your
one thing that we all agree on, and we've done it a few times, is when we were overseas. Like I remember one time in Germany, we went to an underground nightclub.
Oh my gosh.
And we can party with the best of them.
Oh, well, good. You hear that?
That was yeah. so much fun.
That is sure good. That's
I
fun.
Like, what do they call that music? Techno?
Uh huh.
And
there is a lot of that, especially you said you were in Germany.
Yeah.
yeah
so
yeah.
I wanted to go see a techno band. And they said, well, this is where you have to do it.
And wait, how old are the kids at this point?
Well, kids.
Well, her youngest older. And her oldest are 16 years apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the youngest couldn't go with us.
Right. So the
darn. I'm
yeah.
sure he missed. I'm
oh,
sure
I'm sure he's that. Made up for it. I'm not worried about him. Yeah. I'm
no,
not
he's
worried
made
about
up for it, but he was always kind of angry about that. He said, oh. I can hardly wait till I can go with you guys dancing.
Oh.
He's a good, great dancer. So dancing
he's
with
yeah.
that
dancer.
Thing. Yeah. So, yeah, that was like, I'll never forget that night. It was
oh, that's
unbelievable.
Neat. That's so neat cool. to be able to share something like that with your kids, too.
Yeah. A lot of parents can't say that they have gone to a disco bar with their kids.
Underground.
In
yeah.
Germany.
In Germany.
Yeah.
I had amazing. Taken my two oldest to a Rolling Stones concert that was in Denver on a Thanksgiving.
Did you?
And they, I think, were in junior high age. So.
What?
That would be cool.
And wow. I thought it'd be the coolest thing. We get there and we sit down and we're looking down because it's kind of looking down at the stage. And I can't remember which one of them said. I said, so what do you think? And she's like, I've never seen so many bald heads and gray hair in my life.
Is that your second oldest daughter?
I think it might have been. It does sound like her, for oh. sure. And then by the end, I'm like, oh, maybe I made a mistake. They're too young. They're not going to get it, you know. I can tell you, by the end, Mick Jagger delivered. He impressed
oh,
to where they remember it now, and they're just like,
yeah,
this is great.
That would be awesome.
That would be so cool. I don't think, because when
so,
you're that
you,
young,
you get to
you
share things like that. It's
when you're
fun.
That young,
yeah.
You don't realize how cool that is and how embracing
right,
that is.
Right, right.
What impact that's going to have in your life. But now I know, I can guarantee they remember that.
And
they're
look, they're
remember
both,
that for the rest of their lives.
And they're both diehard concert goers,
oh,
like
they
shows.
That's
they're always
started,
doing their music.
Honest.
And also give credit to their dad. Mm-hmm. He was always showing them different genres of music and all of that. So
I think that's the key, is none, have and different genres.
Yeah, and to appreciate exactly.
Music on all different kinds of levels.
Exactly.
I think that adds to your intellect.
Oh, definitely.
I think so too. Yeah. Music's a huge genre. Part of, for me anyway, a huge part of life. It can really help.
Yeah. And it brings it can people make a together.
Difference.
You
yeah,
know?
And it makes a difference in dancing.
How you make
it makes
friends,
a difference. Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
But no, I'm really curious because I've always been, you know, I'm a huge fan of all your kids. I've loved your youngest son I've known him probably longer.
Way
I've
too
known
long.
Longer than I've known your daughter. Mm-hmm. No longer than I've known you.
Well, we're going to have to, she's not going to like us for that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've known him since I was probably 10 years old.
Wow.
So he's been my, you know, he's been my older brother for me for a long time.
Yeah.
And he was there for my brother when, you know, he needed someone. So he's been a part of our family for a very long time. And I'm very grateful of that. But meeting your other kids, too, has been meant a lot to me, too, because I got to see how your youngest was brought up and how, you know, who raised him and how he became the man he is today. So my question to you is, how did you do it? Like, what is your secret? Because you were also a single mom.
I was a single mom and I was working. And we all know that single moms don't get the kind of pay that they should. And
do they not?
You know what? If you're going into anybody to make money, stop.
Yeah. So the hours were long.
Yeah.
And there were times, especially with my youngest son, because he was so angry. He missed his dad so much. Yeah.
He was going through a lot.
I was just there. And he was angry at me because he would rather
have... Well, he didn't have anyone else to be angry at either.
You were the only one he could be angry at. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it was for my brother as well.
Yeah. Well, they're angry. And who's left?
Right.
So you take the brunt of it. There would be times I'd be in the living room with my computer open, and I'd be looking at boarding schools, military schools, anything that would help him or straighten him out or come between us.
Right.
And then I'd look at the cost and I'd say, okay, this is not going to happen because I can't afford that. And I don't want him to leave me.
Right.
Right. Then you have to deal with the whole thing about him leaving.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I said, the only thing that's going to get this through all of this is love.
Yeah.
Aww.
Pure, simple love. And I can't get bitter. Mm-hmm. About.
Do you remember your turning point? Was there a specific moment that you realized, you know what, I'm not going to send him away. We are going through this together.
Mm-hmm. Probably some Christmases when it was just us.
Mm-hmm.
Older kids were gone. Mm-hmm. And it was just us. And we'd go to the Marriott and have a Marriott dinner.
Aww.
And then go see a movie.
Oh, love so there's that. You were starting traditions.
And so, yeah, that is a tradition. Nice. And we did it here in Colorado. One of my friends got sick. We did it in San Diego. And it was just that moment of just spending time together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I also did it every Sunday. We'd go for a ride in the mountains. And he'd say, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to talk to you. I said, that's okay.
You just have to get in the car. You don't have to talk.
Yeah. You don't have to talk. But guess what? After about a half an hour, he'd wake up and he'd start telling me stories, start telling me about the teachers, telling me some funny stories of how he got in trouble. And it was like, so hysterical.
Right.
I would just like, really? You did that? And they didn't call me that time.
Right.
As they called me all the time.
Yeah.
I got to know all of the principals really well.
Well, yeah. You know, you were really... In your son's
life. And I was there. I was there, and I was
right.
In the office with him. And one of the principals, when we left to go to Saudi, she actually came and she kissed me. You know, and she said, it was rough. This is middle school. It was rough. But she said, we're going to get through it. And it's going to be a great story. And it was.
It really
was.
Well,
when he graduated from college... his first, I gave him the invitations. There were so many, I thought, who were going to invite.
Yeah.
And this was college because he didn't graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get his GED,
mm-hmm.
but he passed at the top
2%. Right.
And so this is college. And the principal that I just spoke of in middle school got one invitation.
Uh-huh.
John Elway got an invitation because John Elway met my
youngest.
When he was 10 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they were in a cart together. My youngest father took his picture And from then on, he was just a fan, and he watched him all the time.
Oh, gosh, I bet. He
got a letter back saying, I can't come to the graduation.
No way!
I want to tell you how proud I am of
you. Oh, my gosh.
For all of the things that you accomplished.
I did not know this.
Gave him a picture, and his older brother has it in a safe in his house. His younger brother doesn't.
Older brother looking out for younger brother. You're a little too young for this. Let me take this and keep it safe. How adorable.
Uh-huh. And so it still sits there.
That's
one
so
of
neat.
These days we'll get it framed. But it was the most beautiful letter.
I bet.
John Elway did that.
God, that probably made such a big impact in his life too.
Yeah. Just so John Elway is the kind of person that does that kind of thing.
That is that type of person.
I genuinely believe that. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great human.
Well, talking about graduating from college just sparked something, because you share something in common with your daughter.
About graduating.
Oh, yes.
So what was that? Do you want to share that with us? I think it's a great little story.
So I had had a fire and destroyed most of my life. And it was a catastrophic loss. My house and my car, everything.
Oh my God.
And eventually my career. Mm. So I was not doing very well. My daughter wanted to get her master's. And she said, I wanted to get a master's in nutrition. And she said, why don't you come to this school? They have some good programs. You can stay with me. And we'll go to this school. So we did. And we both got our master's on the exact same day.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
20 minutes apart.
What did that feel like to do it with your daughter? Was that just...
It was fun.
I mean, that had to have been a great mother-daughter moment, man. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. She walked first, and then I walked. Aww. And it was like... I mean, who does that?
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I just wanted you to share that story, because to me, that's pretty unique.
Yeah, we did it together. Our my two oldest granddaughters... watched her mother and her grandmother cross the stage together.
Which is, a pretty powerful message to little girls.
Yeah. Is that you can do anything at any age.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I was a grandmother, and my oldest granddaughter was like 14 years old, 13 years old.
Oh, this is awesome.
Something like that. So.
Oh, that is great. That's a great story.
It was fun. And it helped me. I got a degree.
I was going to say, did it help? Because you were going through such a dark time. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was healing. I healed myself. I got a master's degree. It was in health promotion, and I healed myself.
Well, good for you.
So I'm alive still.
Yeah. And you have your master's from it, and you got to experience that with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And your granddaughters got to witness that, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty
And my
awesome.
Youngest son was there, so he witnessed
your youngest
that, too.
Oh, son came. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it was.
Well, congratulations. That's an accomplishment.
It was a great day.
What did you get your master's in?
It's health promotion, and it's about putting together programs for, helping yourself heal, going through.
Which is ironic, because that's what you were doing.
Yeah, that's what she meant.
That's why
like
I picked
issues,
that.
Like, I'm going to heal myself, if anything.
Yeah, and I ended up being the ambassador for the program chair of that particular program for 3 years.
Wow.
And she... was like, it was very eye-opening to be kind of her ambassador and learn from her, because I didn't really know anything about health and prevention and taking care of yourself. And it had a lot to do with integrative medicine. So it wasn't just about Western medicine. So I took classes in meditation, classes in aromatherapy, but I also got all of the Western, like how you put it together and the research and the science.
Oh, wow.
So that you can do both. So I was always in the library. I was fascinated.
We're going to have to hook you up with Mama T, or the nutritionist that comes on here.
Yeah.
You guys would have a lot to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. So now I follow Whole Foods and do all kinds of things.
That is so cool. Well, I'm so glad you found that. And what a great choice for you. I mean, to be able to heal yourself. I mean, if you're paying for it, tuition anyway.
Yeah.
That's great. Do you think it's time for our five on the line?
I think it is time for our five on the line. So just for our new listeners and for our guests tonight, we do five on the line for at the end of every podcast. We ask our guest the same five questions. It's just... we'll ask him real quick, and then whatever question you or whatever answer comes to your mind, you just throw it out there. So And yeah. we like to keep them family related, you know. So
for right now, yeah.
Yeah, so it's we're bringing it all back to family. So the first question we have is, what was your favorite family vacation? And this could be as you were growing up as a child, or it could be with your kids now, or your kids when they were younger.
Okay.
But gosh, that's something you've had.
My sons and I had a Christmas, again, all alone. And my older son said, let's make our last family vacation remarkable.
Oh.
And we put all of our pennies together.
Why would have been your last? What was happening was...
my youngest was in his college.
Oh, okay. So you guys college, were you had your and, lives and they were growing up.
His older son was dating.
Right, okay. And, it looked pretty serious.
Yeah, so right. we just said if you it is, is, if
let's
it
make
is,
it great. We're going out with a bang.
Yeah if it is, maybe okay. we'll do. And we did other things later, but right, this right. this oh, this one hear. Is great. The one. So we put all of our bonus points together from hotels and airlines, and so we took a flight and we went to Costa Rica, and nice. It was just the three of us.
Nice.
And as we were flying into, we went to Drake Bay. As we were flying into there and the jungles beneath us, I said, I've done so much and I'm so lucky. And if this plane goes down right now, I'm going down with two of my favorite people. but that vacation was just unbelievable.
That's great.
Oh, I bet.
Back to Hong Kong, just real quick.
Okay.
Was that when Hong Kong airport was, like, I heard horror stories about landing at Hong Kong airport because it was
my
like,
first trip was there.
It was like you were going through the town on like
you
the
could
skyscraper.
See somebody watching TV.
That's what Poppy says, and I'm like, no way. I don't know what would have happened.
It's very dangerous.
Do you want to tell us about that Hong Kong airport?
Yes. So I was in Hong Kong. I belonged to a women's spirituality group.
Okay.
And they asked me to speak in Hong Kong, and that was in 1989.
Okay.
And we went to the old Hong Kong airport, and you could, when you were landing, as you were coming into the runways, the buildings were so close that you could see people dressing and watching TV.
Poppy said he saw someone taking a bath.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And these are big, these aren't little chartered planes. These are your big huge, yep. like first class all the way back to economy planes.
It's correct? Not that way anymore. They have a beautiful airport. But it's not as much fun.
He also said you would fly over and you would see planes that were down in the water. Like if you took off, you could see a couple planes that they hadn't gotten out of the water yet that didn't quite.
What?
That didn't stop.
Oh.
I guess.
Yeah, the runway was short.
And then he said there was a couple times he'd fly out of there and he'd look down and goes, well, they haven't gotten that plane out of there yet.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wonderful, anyway, wonderful place.
I know, but I'm glad. And that airport's not there anymore, but I just wanted to clarify that. It's one of those things you hear and you just never forget. So on to two, do you have a memory of when, with all the best intentions, the family vacation just fell apart to where it's kind of funny to you now, but it was not successful. Apart. No matter what, just didn't work.
I can't really think of one that really fell apart.
You know, and if you can.
And my oldest son said to me, your favorite city is a city you're in right then, isn't it? And I said,
okay.
Yes.
So I always look for the good things.
Yeah. And my daughter says an adventure doesn't start until something goes wrong.
Oh, and that's what your daughter
said. I say that too. Wow.
And then here's, okay, so.
That's so funny.
Those are things we need to live by. The first one was.
We need to travel together.
You are living and loving every city, or your favorite city. What was it that
you said? Yeah, my favorite city is
the
city
you're
in.
And then your daughter said it's not an adventure until something goes wrong.
Yeah. And I have lots of those.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're more fun than.
Just tell us one. Tell us one where this kind of went wrong.
Situation, you know?
Tell us where, in the great words of Matthew McConaughey, tell us when you had to pivot on vacation. Like, come up with plan B, because this isn't working.
So we're all in, all of us.
Youngest
son's dad.
Yep.
And my daughter.
Favorite daughter.
My favorite daughter in Germany. And, all the kids. And, and myself. And so we were landing in Germany, and it was first time for all of us to be together in Germany.
Okay.
And we don't know how to get out of the airport. And so we're trying to get out, and There's somebody there that knows Arabic, and we have two Arabic speakers in the car. And then favorite daughter is talking to her friends while we're trying to do this, so she's not available to
speak. Right, for this translation that you desperately need to get going.
So it was my youngest son's father who was like finding somebody and found somebody that could speak to us and tell us, oh, just turn around and turn right.
Right. But it was almost like, what are we going to do? Like, why is this not working out?
And so the brothers are laughing because the daughter is speaking on the phone to her friends instead of helping us out of the airport.
The one person that you need.
Yeah, the one person you really need. I'm sorry, but I have something else going on.
Yeah.
Okay, number three.
Who was your role model growing up, and has that changed, and why?
My role model. There was a woman that was, she was the mother to my best friend in elementary school. Mm. And she was very, very, very brilliant. And she, I asked her to be my confirmation sponsor. And to this day, she was my mom's real good friend. And to this day, I still think about her. And like I said, I belong to this woman's spirituality group.
Uh-huh.
And she was a leader in that group. And she always thought like critical thinking.
Yeah, that's
to make you to make you want to do more. She was like a sportswoman. She was a skier. She still skis. She's 92.
Oh, wow! No way.
She's 92.
Her children are absolutely amazing. One of her sons was a founder of the Yard. You know that restaurant called the Yard.
Yeah.
He was one of the founders.
No way.
Her daughter, my age, is
if you hear any sniffing, that's puppy Pablo.
And so she just had a way. So she was my example of raising children, helping other people, being an activist and, you know, looking for social justice when people weren't looking for social justice. And every time I think of her, it just brings a smile to my face.
Oh, great. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So this is going to be hard since you're holding your new little puppy Pablo in your lap. But who was your favorite childhood pet? And do you remember? Like, did you have a childhood
Pablo.
Pet?
Don't listen, Pablo.
Yeah, don't listen. But
I'll cover his
But words. It was when you were a child, childhood. But do you have a fond memory of a childhood pet?
I don't know if it was a fond memory. I remember
Pablo
I had a dog.
Puppies.
Yeah. My thing is dogs.
Right.
My favorite daughter, hers is cats. So we always had cats. So I've become fond of cats. And her name was Susie, and she got out of the yard and she got hit by a car.
Oh, no.
But my parents told me that she ran away.
So Susie actually helped you come to terms with some pretty harsh realities about life, like
and people.
And people.
Some people want to hide the truth, and some people
there you go.
Will tell you.
And that's and I think this
out.
Is the spirit her son talks about when the city you're in is your favorite city. Like you're gonna find the good.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then the very last question is, we just like to ask this, what's the last song you listened to, like, on your playlist, or last song?
Oh, Counting Stars by One Republic.
Okay.
I hadn't heard it.
You are our quickest, ding, 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 like you win a prize or something. You're our quickest person to answer that.
Yeah, no one can ever answer. They have to check.
And I hadn't listened to my music for a long time.
Right, okay.
And yesterday I pulled up my Spotify.
Okay.
And I said, One Republic.
Hey, next time you're on Spotify, you can pull us up too if you want.
Okay.
Yeah. Dirty Laundry Clean Confessions. You can pull us up on Spotify. Yeah. If you want.
Absolutely.
Saying, if you want.
Oh, Michelle, thank you
so
much.
Yeah, thank you. And do you have another story? I mean, you have so many stories, and you've led such a wonderful life and incredible career and everything. Is there anything else you want to share with us, or a funny thing you want to share with us before we leave, or serious, or anything? What do you want to share?
Well, I would tell people to follow their dreams. And one thing that we were talking about earlier was manifesting.
Uh-huh,
and
we
you
did.
Can manifest anything. When I was a single mom with my older two children, we didn't ever go on a vacation because their father didn't believe in taking us because he traveled all the time. So every Friday, I would make a meal from a different country. And I said, one day we're going to see these places. One day we're going to be there. I didn't know it was going to take so long, but we did it, and we traveled all around the world together.
And that
and it
is...
started with those little dinners on Friday night.
And it's just, you're an extraordinary person. I mean, think about that. Like, you are native sixth generation to Colorado, yet you have lived and experienced all around the world.
It was fun. I didn't know. I just started making dinners on Friday.
You didn't know, but you were starting your manifestation in such a positive way, it couldn't help.
And I think that's what it is, manifestation in a positive way.
Yeah. It's a powerful thing. It really is.
It really is.
Same thing. I've done the same thing.
Yeah. And it's almost like the universe will start to scream at you.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna do this for, you know, follow me along. You know, come on, Elle, you have made these dinners. And it's almost like the universe puts it in place for you to make it just that much easier to accomplish these things.
I got Betty Crocker's International Cookbook.
There you go. That's all you need.
And started cooking. I was really depressed and sad at that time because it was just the three of us.
Right, right. Well, yeah.
And we didn't have anything.
But what a great thing to do.
And so I just did what I could. You have to cook. You have to make dinner.
Yeah.
And you can tell the stories of that country while you're
doing
it.
That is such a great idea. That is just a great idea. I love that. I love that. So, hey, Monk and Little Al, if you're listening and you have a family.
That's my little tidbit of how we got around the world.
What a great idea. Yeah. You remember that, Monk and Little Al. That's a great idea to introduce into a family. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And, hey, I hope you want to come back because we love to have our guests come back. And I'm sure you just have so much. And this has been wonderful. Wonderful.
Anytime. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Smart.
And Haas. Yeah.
And thank you, Haas.
Of course, thank you. And bring your little puppy anytime.
Yeah, Pablo is
adorable.
He is adorable. Thank you again. And
thank you. This was a lot of fun.
And thanks. You made our colors a little brighter, you know. And
talked
about
some of these.
I mean, our whites a little whiter, and we're happy in the laundry room.
Yeah,
thank you.
I love the laundry room.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, we can't wait to have you back and have a great adventures in between.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, before we wrap up this spin cycle, Haas and I would like to give a quick shout out to those listeners who may be famous. We really do adore you, and even though you do not qualify as an NTRG, not the real guest, we would always love to hear from you. This is Smarge and Haas, keeping it sorted, keeping it real, from the family laundry room. Be safe, stay even, and remember, when in doubt, go half.
Thank you for listening to Dirty Laundry Clean Confessions. Follow us on Instagram at Dirty Laundry Clean Confessions. And if you would like to be the next Not the Real Guest, please email us at dirtylaundryclinconfessions@gmail.com. We would love to air out the dirty laundry with you. A DLCC disclaimer. In this live pre-recorded episode of DLCC, Not the Real Names, NTRN, have been used to protect the guilty and a few of the innocent.